Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have a tremendous loyalty program. I wish I had one. Oh. That's a different topic. Auto, home, light business, bundles, whatever it may be. Purdy is the best in the business when it comes to making sure you're completely covered, and they do so at the best price. And if you ever need them to go to work for you, they will pour their heart and soul into it because customer service means everything to them. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I think they have a loyalty program, too.
They do.
I wish I had one.
They could do. You could ask for one for Christmas, because tonight it's opening night of Talk to Santa here on WKOK.
Well, I already know what I'm going to ask Santa for.
Fire up the old magic radio.
Loyalty. Fortunately, Tom McGrath was there and had my back. So Jack Ham had my back all day.
Sure. Never fails. Yes.
Then I looked at two people. I thought it would never be an issue. And the first sign that there may be a crack in the dam, right, they were willing to let it flow. Wow. Well, over the years, the Ravens have been very loyal to Justin Tucker, and Tucker has always made sure it was a two-way street.
Justin Tucker for the winner from 49 yards. Snap is good. Kick on the way. It is long enough, and the kick is good. The time has come off the clock. The hay's in the barn, and the Ravens take down the 49ers.
That game lived up to expectations yesterday. No offense, I was watching that on NFL Red Zone to get as much of that as possible. There's only so many passes I can watch Duck Hodges throw before I sit back and go, okay, when's the pro game going to break out? All right, so, hey, you know what's really bad? Is he outplayed Baker Mayfield?
That's right. Whole bunch of backups sending Cleveland back to Ohio.
Well, a bunch of backups, not on defense. They only backups playing
on defense. Offense, yes.
Yes. On defense, that defense is really, really, really good.
I'll tell you, there were so many times where T.J. Watt was either trying to at least close to hitting the shoulder pads or within an arm's length of Baker Mayfield yesterday.
Well, I'll say this about Duck Hodges. He has made a lot of Steeler fans find religion or rediscover it. Because every time he drops back to pass, you hear, oh, God, I hope he completes it. All right, so we'll come back with more in a moment. Let's bring in Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Frank, always great to hear you on the other end.
Yeah, Steve, thank you for having me. And great to survive another season. Regular season.
That's
Sorry. Exactly
right. Just first of all, I mean, usually very few things take me aback, but I was really, really surprised by Chris Peterson stepping down today at Washington. That did take me aback.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have all these coaching positions you've been centered on, i.e. USC and the such, for so long, and then there's always ones that take you by surprise. Same as what guys are going to leave early for the NFL. You always have your focus on this person, that person, and nowadays seems like there's always one or two guys that surprises you when it comes down to that decision as well. Because yeah, we're going to get to that part of the season, too, coming up here.
Yeah, we are. Now, it's something that should be always remembered about Chris Peterson, by the way, is one heck of a coach. He really is. But, you know, there's also certain elements in someone's personal life that I think sometimes if you're around it, you know it. It's been talked about. But here we are on the East Coast, and maybe not as many people are aware. But you know, his 13-year-old, I'm trying to think how old his son Sam is now. But, you know, I mean, he has a special needs son who had a brain tumor that spread to his spine. So, I mean, he's had to deal with that, he and his wife Barbara, for many, many years now. And there are a lot of elements that take its toll on not just the coach, but take a toll on the husband and the father. And I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Well, sure. I mean, Bill O'Brien, you know, had...
Oh, my goodness, yes, with Jackie.
And his son. I mean, there's all types of things that factor into where you're going to want to live, where you're going to want to be, not just the team in the field. I mean, these guys do have families, too, right? Like everyone.
Right, exactly. So, Jimmy Lake, who was so highly thought of, I remember when Penn State played him, I mean, Jimmy Lake was the guy. They kept talking about, you know, that he was going to be the guy of the future when Penn State played him in the Fiesta Bowl. Well, the future is going to be now for him. All right, Penn State goes through a series of six games where they're playing Iowa tough, hard, physical. Michigan tough, hard, physical. Michigan State tough, hard, physical. Minnesota with that huge offensive line, tough, hard, physical. Indiana ranked 24th. Same story. Ohio State, obviously. At some point, should we recognize that they went through that stretch and maybe it played a role, even though it's a victory, it played a role in Saturday that they had to go through all those tough, hard physical games in a row?
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. Whether the fans want to admit it or whether even us who cover the team want to admit it sometimes, I think we look past those things. It's also this. So you go 1 week from playing the number one team in the country on the road with all the hype and build up and everything to the very next week, now only statistically, but maybe one of the worst teams in the country at home on Thanksgiving weekend. You can't get much more of a change you can't go from one end to the other any more than that. And the thing about it is you can try to motivate your players and tell them everything in the world 20 hours a day, but they see the numbers and the publicity, and it's human nature. So that's also working into it, too. I mean, can you be as motivated for the game on Saturday as you were the week before? Is it even possible? I mean,
right.
And then you're sitting guys, and it's kind of you almost would consider an empty stadium a little bit by Beaver Stadium qualifications. I mean, it's just not the same.
Right.
So.
What did you think of Will Levis and his performance in his first career start?
I thought he did a good job as far as the things we expect. I mean, the running. I mean, he's a tough guy to handle running the football.
Sure is.
He looks very confident running the football. I mean, throwing the ball, I mean, I don't know if what we saw is much different than I expect. I mean, kind of cold weather. It's the end of the year. It's your first time playing, you know, you don't have all your parts there. I mean, Penn State's receivers have been kind of up and down this season. So, I don't think it was a whole lot different. I mean, the key for him to me is going to be, you know, his development in the off season, how he handles it, because doesn't matter, you're always, you know, a snap and injury away, because they may need him, earlier in the year next year.
He's got to be ready. He was in that spot against Ohio State.
Right.
He was a snap away, and that snap happened.
Yeah, and that could happen in week two next year. So
sure.
How he handles his development, and see, a lot of all that's off behind the scenes, all so much of it for us. But I thought he did fine. I thought he did a good job.
Well, I'm going to follow up on the development part. Obviously, a lot of people have focused in on the recruiting of Penn State, and it's the lifeblood of any program. You have to recruit at a really high level. Well, Penn State's been doing that. But what's lost sometimes is the job that the staff does in developing. Is Journey Brown a real case point in the development of a player?
No, yeah. You got the great example, because I think nobody would have known where this guy was going to head in his college career. There's no way to know that from high school all the speed in the world, but I mean, the competition just wasn't there, not his fault. But it seems to me that he's put on the right weight. He's been humble. He's waited. He's learned behind good players. And, man, he got gradually better through the whole season. So, yeah, that's got to be on the development of the coaches. That's a big star for Journey himself and the way he's handled it, especially when you're sharing the position with three others. You have all these off-the-field situations he's dealing with. So, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, I think sometimes James Franklin's staff that wouldn't get credit enough for development because so much is how great of a recruiter he is and they are.
Right. All right. Now, let's get to the next part in this. And Micah Parsons, Pro Football Focus was the first one to put out its All-America team. They have Micah Parsons as a first-team All-American on the Pro Football Focus part. Now, I don't know how much of that is just selection or grades or whatever, but he was actually first-team All-America, and Jan Johnson was honorable mention because I think it's how they're grading out.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of development in 2 years? I want to start with Mike, and then I'll get to Jan. What kind of development have you seen in Micah Parsons in a new position of linebacker in a two-year span?
Well, just his instincts, being able to use his athletic ability. You know, last year, I guess maybe a simple way to put it is, you know, the athletic ability was there, but he's learning stuff so fast on the fly, he can't use it really to its potential. He's still not using it to its potential, but man, does he look so much faster and more comfortable out there because I think he knows where he's supposed to go much more of the time. You know, it's just coming to him now. It's like driving a car where you don't have to think, you see it, you just do it. And he sees where the quarterback or the running back's going and he just does it. One thing I notice about Micah is, don't know if there's another linebacker I've seen at Penn State that looks faster in pursuit yet.
Right.
I mean, he doesn't, it's not always a play he gets to. The quarterback has a 10-yard start on him, but man, does he cover a lot of ground quickly. And I think his biggest plays are ahead of him. And James says that all the time, and I would agree. And Micah, I think, would agree. He even said that Saturday after the game, there's plays he left on the field. So it just shows you, man, what he's able to do now and what he still has left. One of the greats coming at Penn State, if he keeps going this way.
And then there's Jan Johnson. Opposite of that, not the five-star, but the walk-on, who's certainly getting at least on Pro Football Focus, quote, grade recognition as to what he did this season against all the other linebackers in the country. What have you seen from Jan Johnson in the last 2 years, Frank, as you have observed him?
Just, I mean, a steadying force. He knows, I think, who he is and what he can do and doesn't try to do things he can't. And he's just steady and he's there. And he wraps up tackles probably better maybe than anyone on the team. You know, I mean, yeah, Justin Fields may take him out on a play, right? Well, that's okay because
he wouldn't be the first.
That's just the way it is, right? But when Jan has the angle and a chance, you know, he does his job and he does it all the time, and people don't always notice it unless he makes an interception against Maryland, right? But I think he learned a lot from Brandon Smith, who is a lot like him, the older Brandon Smith, mm-hmm. who's gone now.
Yes.
Who learned, you know, very much a similar story, a similar player, the same position. And that's what Penn State does a great job of. Those linebackers, they're not always the All-American types, but you can probably think of a few others even more recently that are just kind of like Josh Hall.
Whom I just literally saw Josh Hall 2 hours ago. He's working here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
literally just saw him when I stopped in to get something quick to eat as takeout. He was there. He's working in Hawbaker's now.
Well, and it's no surprise that, you know, Jan and Brandon, look at what they do academically. So It shows you how much that is part of the deal on the field, too. No, there's definitely a correlation. Those guys are hard workers. They're smart. Everybody needs, you know, they're the glue on and off the field of teams. That's how I see it. And Micah would say that he looks up to Jan, and Jan's taught him a lot, and I think that says a ton right there.
Absolutely. Now the next part is that after the game, both Pat Freiermuth and Ricky Slade sent out messages that they were returning for the 2020 season. Now, there's obviously a way to go on some of these announcements one way or the other, but what kind of start is that for Penn State to get those two guys to say, yes, they're coming back?
Well, you want the running back group to buy in to a tough situation, and they have. So Ricky shows that. I think he has a lot more potential than ability than maybe things that just didn't work out quite right. So it's great he's coming back. Pat, I mean, you're talking about the best tight end, I think, in the country coming back going in next year.
Right.
So, I mean, that's huge. I'm not going to give you the best tight end in the country. Sure, we'll take him, right? It'll be a great guy. I think maybe could be the best all-round tight end Penn State's had since, I'll say, Kyle Brady, possibly, going back. When you look at the way he handles himself physically, the pass catching, I mean, he's tough to handle, and that's a tremendous start. And, you know, they've been limited in reliable pass catchers, and so here's number one coming back.
What, and I know we'll get into this a little bit more when the time comes up, Frank, because obviously we'll have you back. We always have you back.
Sure. I love it.
But just at least initially, the importance of the bowl game is obviously it's the end of this season because it's the last time this entire group will be together. But is it, based on what Penn State has, the potential to be a stepping stone into next season?
I think it always is. I think this year, more importantly, to your point, because they are continually close to taking the next step that everybody wants them to take. So people won't be quite satisfied till they make the playoffs. Well, they're close, but to these extra practices and these little things are going to be maybe some of the things that help them get just over the hump. You know, give a guy like the new Brandon Smith at linebacker, have 10, 15 more practices or whatever, that could be huge in his development, enable him to be the next Micah Parsons. Guys like that, guys are going to need next year getting that extra work now. I mean, I guess it's big for most teams, but for Penn State, they're so close to me to taking the next step that if they handle it right, that could be huge for them, I think.
When you look at this four-year run, which has had the 41 wins and maybe a 42, three 10-win seasons in the past four, if I take you back to December 2nd, 2015, 4 years ago, in your mind, would these conversations have been possible just based on the current state of the program as to where they were December 2nd, 2015?
No, not right now, because you could never have envisioned the rebuild at that point. You couldn't even envision what Saquon Barkley would have been the following year at that point. And then 2016 comes, which was not really in the plans of, I think, of a lot of people's minds.
Right.
That's not in their trajectory. That was supposed to happen a couple of years down the road.
Right.
Once it happens, you can't go back, so I think the expectations go way high. But
sure,
it doesn't matter. They continue to build on that, which is, I think, a lot harder to do than what most fans realize when you're in the same division as Ohio State and Michigan, who have all the resources and more sometimes than you even have. And they've been able to still push ahead. I mean, they're getting better at each area. I mean, they still have some things to clean up, but
sure.
Hey, they're so far ahead of what you want. It's just, it's tougher in this day and age, you know, to satisfy people.
And now you're at that point where I think the getting back is extremely difficult, yet the biggest hurdle is actually getting into that group of four.
Yeah, and I think they just, if they can just get maybe a little more, I mean, the building blocks, all those final four teams are tremendous up front, offensive line, defensive line. Penn State is finally about there.
Yeah.
Just if, you know, and the problem is you keep losing guys who leave early and maybe transfer whatever, so it's even, depth is even harder. But if you just get a little bit maybe better there and you clean up one other position group over here, then all of a sudden two losses turn into one. That's what they got to get to me, is they're, the one thing that they're not they haven't been able to do is get that one loss regular season. They're so close.
Yep.
If you only lose one time during a regular season, you're sitting right at the doorstep, I think, every year if you're Penn State in the Big Ten.
Right.
And
yeah,
that's they're almost there, Steve.
Almost. All right.
Yep.
Frank, always a pleasure. Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Yes.
You know that.
All the best to you this week. Enjoy it.
Frank Podani, York Daily Record, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Can you help us with our insurance?
From in there?
Oh, the cage? I've been with this provider for years.
Let's find a trusted choice independent agent.
Trusted choice?
Many insurance agents are held captive by one provider, but a trusted choice independent agent has the freedom of choice. They can shop multiple providers on your behalf to find the coverage options and prices right for you.
Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. Are you trapped by one company's rates? Call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served the Valley for decades. They've done a great job of finding the best, whether it's auto, home, life, business, a bundle. They do whatever they can to find you the best price, and they work hard in that policy for you all the time, whether it's updating it, finding you savings, or if you ever need to make a claim, they go to work as if it happened to them, because customer service means everything to Purdy Insurance. Great people who are tremendous professionals. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So, there you go. Saturday, a major loyalty faux pas. Hey, you put a guy in the show one day, and all of a sudden, like the next day, you're mincemeat. Right? And then you get somebody who's allegedly loyal to go along with the premise. Again, one person stood firm about whether I would show up or not, and then seconds after you said it, egg everywhere all over respective faces.
That's right.
Because
we put this in the rearview mirror, we've burned the tape, and we move on.
Yeah. No, you put it in the rearview mirror because you feel that's the only way to survive.
That's right. This too shall pass.
Probably not. Right. Now, it should be pointed out that we have now referred to it as, instead of a moment of weakness, a moment of suitness.
Suitness.
Because we feel that is synonymous with weakness.
That's right. He should not consider that a badge of honor. Nor should I.
Oh, I got it. How do you spell it?
H-O-N-O-R.
Yes. Yes. All right. So, Steelers won yesterday. The defense continues to play great, and to the credit of the Duck played fine.
All right. NFL has decided to flex the Pittsburgh home game versus the Buffalo Bills. Not this coming Sunday, but next Sunday, the 15th. That'll be, instead of a 1 p.m. kick, that'll be an 8:20 kick. So that'll be an NBC Sunday night game, 6:20 airtime on 100.9 The Valley. Since they're both 5-6 in the wild card race, because they figured, probably the best game to put in primetime that weekend.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah, they are desperate now. Duck Hodges on national TV.
For the second time. This will be for the second time. Yeah. Carved him up out in California, out in that soccer stadium. Close to 30,000 on hand.
And to be honest with you, they played great defense that night.
They did. So I'm just kind of wondering if they're going to hiccup out in Arizona this Sunday and see how they do with... This will be interesting with Kyler Murray going up against this defense. Shall be interesting. I've been very impressed with Joe Hayden the last few years. There'll be a game or two here and there where he'd come up with an injury. So far, he has been healthy. Hope I'm not jinxing him as they go out to Arizona on Sunday. But he's played really well. I don't know if I would go so far as to give Micah Fitzpatrick the AFC Defensive Player of the Year, but my goodness, you definitely would have to put him in the conversation at least over who? I mean, I think you would put him up there with Bosa from the Chargers.
Hey, you know what Joey Bosa has? He has a Philip Rivers, a quarterback.
Who has been very, very inconsistent, throwing too many interceptions this year.
Okay. Micah Fitzpatrick has Duck Hodges. And it just can't be Duck because he likes duck hunting. Have you seen some of those passes?
Yeah.
All right, so, it's just...
Oh, there were several plays yesterday. It's like, oh man, just throw the ball away and then live for another day. Just don't step back and take a 9, 10, 13 yard loss on a sack. Step up a little bit and if you have to, throw it to the peanut vendor in row one.
I mean, this is your guy.
And there was a few more instances yesterday where...
He's your guy.
I know that, but there was a few other, and I've brought this up before. There was a couple more instances yesterday in the fourth quarter. They had opportunities to knock another 30, 35 seconds off the clock, and they're passing it instead of running it, and it just drives me nuts. But that's the thing. When you got a young guy like that, who wasn't even drafted, who got an invite to training camp, who's barely had reps with the ones. Well, there's a lot of ones that are out with Connor and Juju out, but I just wonder if there are situations where, okay, did Randy Feekner, the play call, the offensive coordinator, did he call that play, or was it something that Duck had a brain cramp on the fly and did something else. And he's learning on the fly.
Oh, I would opt for that. All right, so...
get concerned. There's little stuff like that with time management, and if they... it's going to come back to haunt them when they get an opportunity.
The game is too fast for him, okay? Right? He can do the easy stuff. That's fine. And that's all they need right now is for him to do the easy stuff. The really complicated stuff... Game's too fast for him. I will say this. In a league that has been struggling tremendously with quarterback play, you saw Patrick Mahomes back in the lineup playing well yesterday. Deshaun Watson was just tremendous last night. And Lamar Jackson just continues to amaze.
I'll tell you what, there are some passes that you see Lamar Jackson throw. It has that kind of Pat Mahomes quality to it, just enough dart and zip to it.
Or a little sidearm.
Yes. Yeah, and a sidearm.
Yeah, so he doesn't. So I saw some great quarterback play. The Eagles are not in trouble, but they're playing like a team in trouble. They've lost three in a row. They should be tied for first place right now.
I'll say Dallas. This about the Eagles, and I was with your conversation last hour with Matt down in Philadelphia. I just don't think the Eagles have been the same since Jordan Howard got hurt. They just don't have an identity. They've lost their identity since Jordan Howard's been out of the lineup. They just haven't been the same.
Yeah. Well.
But to Carson Wentz's credit, he puts all the blame on him. It starts with me, and I give him a ton of credit for doing that.
That's leadership. Yeah,
sure.
No, that's leadership.
Yeah.
No,
and I've never knocked
anybody else. Blame me.
And I've never knocked his leadership at all. One second.
And the whole key around him is I'm sure he feels like he's surrounded by loyal people. As opposed to somebody else. All right, so. Moment of suitness.
Yes. But what the Steelers have done with this makeshift lineup on offense,
they'll get Pouncey back this week, too. Remember
yes,
that.
Pouncey is back, and we'll see how Connor and Juju do in practice this week. I mean, Juju did clear concussion protocol, but just the knee injury that occurred on that play in Cleveland, where he also got concussed, it was also, it was a 2-for-1 deal in the same play.
Okay. Well, Greg Schiano's gone to Rutgers. Arthur Sitkowski, who had been the starting quarterback, then decided to redshirt, committed today that he was going to stay at Rutgers. Chris Peterson shocked everybody, stepped down today at Washington. Jimmy Lake has already been promoted. He has the job. Matt Luke is out at Ole Miss. Now you've got a lot of players at Ole Miss contemplating transfer. And I guess Jim Harbaugh's made a flight down there because that's a great pipeline for him.
And then he got the soap opera out at USC. Okay, is Clay still the head coach? Is he not the head coach? Like you see one story, a different story the next. But
that goes to something about it. There's just too much bad reporting today. And you want to know why there's bad reporting? There's too much single source reporting going on. A standard over the years is that if you don't see it or you're not around it with your own eyes, you have to double source everything. It's my personal opinion, and it's my personal guess, but I think it's an educated guess. We're getting too much one source stuff, somebody said.
And I can't even imagine the number of times you've told your class that, too.
Talked about it this morning in class. That you, unless you know it for a fact with your own eyes, or you know it for a fact because the source is the story, that you can't single source something. You have to double it, always. You have to double source everything, and I think that's what we're getting on some of the stuff. That's why we see more mistakes in media today than ever before, because I think there are some people that are just trying to get the story out there, and they're not multi-sourcing. Right? They're just taking the word from somebody else. And that does not put that doesn't give the fan the best information. Also Steve Addazio beats Pitt, becomes bowl eligible, and gets fired at Boston College. No offense, Boston College is a hard job. I think BC's a hard job. In the ACC, there is just no ACC feel at all in Boston. You're publicity-wise, you can't compete with the Patriots, you can't compete with the Red Sox, you can't compete with the Celtics, you can't compete with the Bruins. You can't. So at minimum, the best you can do in Boston is be number 5. It's the best you can do. You're overwhelmed by them. And then you're in a conference that nobody in that area can relate to. Nobody. Oh, it's neat. Once in a while, Duke or North Carolina will play a basketball game up there. Once in a while, you get Clemson playing a football game up there. But that's it. So that's where the coaching carousel is today. And they'll stay active for the next few days because National Letter of Intent Day is now 16 days away. It is on Wednesday, December 18th. We're 16 days away. And really, it's 15 and a half because at 6 a.m. on the 18th is when the faxes start rolling in. And we're about an hour and a half or an hour and 12 minutes away from 6 p.m. here, so we're about 15 and a half days away from that. So you have to have somebody in place. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Hey, Santa's here tonight, first time, right?
Season premiere, cannot wait. Fire up the Magic Radio for the first time.
Magic Radio.
We're hoping all the boys and girls will activate that bad boy on the first opportunity. Shake off the dust. Chat with the big guy.
This is a tradition that goes back decades here. It's one of the best things we do every year. To me, it is what radio is actually all about. That kind of personal one-to-one interaction. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Years from now, we're going to be talking about Duck Hodges when he's on his way to the Hall of Fame. Yeah, boy. Give him credit where credit's due. He did just fine yesterday. I didn't say awesome and incredible. He did just fine. He was fine. It's Baker Mayfield that's not playing well. Look, when you're the first overall pick of the draft, and I thought that one of the areas I thought that was very important for Kyler Murray is that he can move. Because when you were the first overall pick in the draft, the team that picked you normally did not trade up to get you. Normally. Obviously, the Rams did to get Goff, and the Eagles did to get Wentz, but they were both drafting in the top 10 anyway. But 9 times out of 10, the team that drafts you has the worst record in the NFL, which means, for the most part, that team is not very good. Which usually means, for the most part, you're not very good in the trenches. So while Mayfield has Landry, Beckham, Chubb, and now Hunt, he's got some talented skill people. His offensive line still isn't very good, and he does not react well to pressure. He just doesn't react well to pressure. He doesn't react well to pressure when he plays, and he doesn't react well to pressure situations. I still go back to last year. I know he was just a rookie last year. But those 4 plays against the Ravens where the Browns had him. And they were 4 of the worst plays I've seen in the clutch by anybody ever. They're terrible. It looked like the second half of the Rose Bowl game when he played in that. Against Georgia. Georgia smoked that team in the second half to get that thing to overtime. And Mayfield, again, in that one, in the second half, with the game on the line, again did not play well. That's something you got to look at with somebody. It's one thing to blow out Kansas and Kansas State all the time. It is another thing that when you've got to make some plays and get something done, has he been able to do that as a pro? Not really. All right. Okay. Great to have you with us on the show today. Seattle plays tonight? Seattle and the Vikings? It's actually a pretty good game.
That is, yeah.
Yeah. Are we carrying it after Santa and Westwood?
Yes, that'll be 7:30 airtime. And then it'll be week 14 of the NFL will start Thursday night with Dallas at the Chicago Bears.
Right.
Of course, before that, we will have Wednesday night court with you and Mr. Girardi. I mean, 9:15 tip Wednesday night, Big Ten ACC Challenge with Wake Forest.
Yeah, we'll be on at 8:30. That was quite a win for Penn State on Friday night. And here's some reasons why. You cannot let a loss to somebody become two. You cannot allow the team to beat you when you have high expectations. You cannot allow them to beat you twice. And in the past, Penn State would have allowed that game to beat them twice. The game with Ole Miss. And they went out there. I thought Patrick, as you heard in the show Friday, I talked about what Patrick did in practice on Thursday. He made it fun. He loosened everybody up. The last thing they did was they did a contest for mid-court guards versus forwards, mid-court shots. You sunk it, you got 50 points. If you hit the rim, you got 10. And I told Meyer, I said, I was hoping you would do that. I've been around enough practices, so I know what I'm hoping to see. They did a lot. They did some Syracuse work in the middle against the 2-3 zone, and then, of course, how they wanted to run their defense against them. Then he did the mid-court shot thing. The players had a blast with it. And then they had Thanksgiving dinner together. They had a blast with the whole thing. So it was a looser team. Now, you notice he didn't play Isaiah Brockington a lot. Brockington felt responsible for the bad pass at the end of the Ole Miss game. He was crying in the locker room afterward. And at practice on Thursday, he was still really downcast. You could see it. Facial, body language, the whole deal. It just really bothered him. So Pat only played him a minimum of minutes against Syracuse, which I thought was smart. Because when he put him in there, you could see it was still bothering him. Now that they've won a game and they won by 21 over Syracuse, he's going to go back to playing his normal amount of minutes. Because Brock's a good player. And Mike Watkins was something else in New York.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.